The Agile Brand.
Welcome to Season 6 of The Agile Brand, where we discuss marketing technology and customer experience trends, insights, and ideas with enterprise and technology platform leaders. We focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make brands successful, scalable, customer-focused, and sustainable. This is what makes an agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advising Fortune 1000 brands on MarTech, marketing operations, and CX, best-selling author and speaker. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that my latest book, Priority is Action, 7 Principles for Better Strategies, Decisions, and Outcomes, is now available. In it, I give ideas and insights for leaders and teams that need to make meaningful progress on their priorities. After all, our priorities are what we do, not what we say we'd like to do. You can find Priority is Action on Amazon or learn more on my website, gregkilstrom.com. Now let's get on to the show. We are here at ETAIL Palm Springs in Palm Springs, California, and talking about all things retail, e-commerce, AI, and more. Today's customer seeks variety and begins looking for products across a wide swath of marketplaces. For this reason, understanding each marketplace and how you might get involved with each or position yourself across several is paramount. Today we're going to talk about optimizing your retail strategy across different marketplaces. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Todd Walsh, Global Marketplaces COE Leader at HP. Todd, welcome to the show.
Hey, Greg. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about this with you. Why don't we get started with you giving a little background on yourself and your role at HP?
Sure. So I've been at HP 8 years now. I've been in digital probably around 18 years. And at HP, I've been focused on leading this global marketplaces team. And our purview is really helping to drive sales and share on top marketplaces. And a few of the ways we do that, a few of the key initiatives in terms of driving sales and share on marketplaces is around demand generation and demand capture, strategy and execution. Also online optimization, so how do we drive improved conversion rates and sales lift? And then third is building and leveraging business intelligence to be able to spot opportunities that can help drive sales and share.
Great, great. So definitely the person to talk about this topic here. So let's dive in here and start by talking about the consumer behavior side of this. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, consumers are continually seeking variety and are shopping across a wide variety of marketplaces. Can you give us a sense of how you look at the average consumer and their behavior? And you know, how many marketplaces are they looking at on average? How does this factor into your strategy?
Yeah, so let me begin by sort of setting some context. Marketplaces is the leading growth area in e-commerce right now. So if you're a brand like HP or you know a brand selling online, you really do need to consider marketplaces as a key strategy to your online sales. From a customer perspective, I think you know it's not a matter of how many different marketplaces that you're showing up on, but rather being strategic around what marketplaces are driving the most sales, where are the biggest sales opportunities. So for us, it's not a volume play in terms of number of marketplaces. It's more being very strategic around where do we want to sell, where do we want to present ourselves. As we'll talk about a little later too, there's costs involved with managing your marketplace and managing your presence there. So I think being strategic around, you know, top marketplaces where you're going to have the best opportunity to drive sales and market share is key.
Yeah. And consumers are also inundated with a large volume of product options as they navigate those marketplaces. How does a brand think about differentiating itself on one of these marketplaces while staying true to its brand?
So that's a great point about marketplaces. So the marketplaces is still what I'd consider sort of the Wild West of e-commerce, right? So as you alluded to, there's a deluge of products that if I'm online and I'm searching up Amazon, I'm looking for, you know, an HP product, for example, I'm going to be presented with myriad different options, different products, different sellers, et cetera. So the first challenge is standing out, right? And we know that, you know, on a marketplace like Amazon, 90% of sales go through the search bar, right? So showing up on the digital shelf, knowing where you are on the digital shelf is critical, and that's sort of foundational. Again, to make sure that your products are findable for keywords that are driving sales volume in your category. And then from there, I think it's really about having a consistent and clear presence within your product detail pages so that when a customer is considering your product, your features and benefits are speaking to them. They're very clear. And I think the big thing here and what we've learned is consistency, right? So we've created playbooks across different product categories, HP products that, you know, everything from product titles through KSP images, KSP bullets, descriptions, there's a formula for that. And we base that on what our customers are looking for. And then across different products within a category, we make sure that, you know, we're following sort of that formula. So if I'm looking at a laptop, an HP laptop, a certain HP laptop, I get a very similar experience if I shoot over and look at the next, you know, maybe an upgraded HP laptop. It's not going to be differentiated from a format perspective. It's very digestible that way.
Well, and I would imagine consumers, they notice that and they appreciate that on some, whether they are paying attention, like comparing, you know, one product page to another, they still appreciate that from a brand consistently.
Right. And the other big thing there is for HP, but I know for many brands, is making sure that you're asserting the HP original, or you name the company original, because there's a lot of different knockoffs. I'm wearing a watch right now made by Nixon, and I know they faced the same thing where it was many fraudulent watches purporting to be Nixon when they're not. So again, being consistent, asserting your brand as original, et cetera, is really critical on marketplaces.
I hope you're enjoying the first part of the show, and I want to invite you to check out another podcast from the Agile brand. It's called B2B Agility, and it's hosted by me, Greg Kilstrom. The B2B Agility podcast looks at the factors that drive success in B2B marketing, with a focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make B2B brands stand out and thrive in a competitive marketplace. You can find B2B Agility on this podcast platform or wherever you normally listen. Before we get back to the show, I just wanted to remind you to hit the follow or subscribe button on your app to make sure you get notified when new episodes of this show are available. Now let's get back to the show. So let's talk a little bit about understanding your brand and customers well enough to keep your marketplace lineup as in line with your business as possible. So what are some of the primary considerations here? You know, a brand obviously wants maximum visibility to their target audience, as you mentioned, but what are the other factors that need to be considered as well, such as omni-channel behaviors, et cetera?
I think from an omni-channel perspective, again, the consistency is the main word, and I'll give you a couple examples, and also sort of the synergy between, you know, retail, offline, brick and mortar, and online, right? So whether that's retail.com or marketplaces, it's important that you have a consistent experience in both locations, and I'll give you, like I said, I'll give you two good examples. One is, if customers are, you know, they're out in the field, they're shopping for a product on their mobile device, for example, you want to be able to drive them to a point of sale, right? A retail point of sale. So within Google, for example, you can set up tags and say, hey, I'm looking for an HP laptop, this spec. Oh, there's a Staples, there's a Best Buy, there's an Office Depot within 2 miles of my search, et cetera. So being able to, like, drive customers to the point of sale. The flip side of that coin is, we know customers are leveraging online when they're in the aisle at brick and mortar, right? And a good example of that is I was at Costco about a year ago. I was looking for a product. It was around $200 price point. I'm in the aisle. I'm kind of on the fence. I know Costco has the best prices generally, and I know they have a great return policy, as everyone knows. But I brought up my Amazon app to say, hey, how does this product rate on Amazon? Because all of the customer reviews, the vast majority of the volume of reviews is on Amazon. So there's a great example of, hey, I'm selling in a retail environment, but I know customers are cross-referencing the experience online, so I need to make sure my products are set up online appropriately to the extent that I can influence customer ratings, right, and have a 4.2, 4.3 star rating and above, that's going to impact the conversion rate in the retail outlet.
Is there, you kind of touched on this a little, but is there such a thing as saturation, you know, being on too many marketplaces, or are the considerations different as far as, you know, how many you choose to be involved with?
I think a big part of it is where you are in your customer, or sorry, in your company journey, the size of your company, et cetera. So if you're a small company, I think being on a vast majority, or being on a majority of marketplaces, let's say in the US, and having your product at, you know, all touch points is a great thing, most likely, right? Because you're trying to get your brand out there. If you're a larger company like HP, again, I think it's more of a strategy of around, hey, where can I present my product in the best way possible? Are there certain marketplaces where we're going to be able to partner with them and make sure that our product is presented in the best way possible, and where the biggest sales volume and the biggest sales opportunity is? So I think, you know, from my perspective, there is a point of saturation, and I think it's better to be more strategic on, you know, a couple few marketplaces rather than spread yourself too thin, trying to be on every marketplace, which becomes very unwieldy from a management perspective.
Yeah, and that's kind of leads me to my next question is, you know, what is the cost, so to speak, operationally to be on either, you know, large volume or, you know, to your point, a smaller company, even on a handful, but with a lot of products, you know, there's operational costs there. You know, so how do you look at that from a cost, operational cost to be consistent? And, you know, can there be diminishing returns as well? You know, does the right, you know, software team, so on and so forth, mitigate this?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a cost to be on the right platforms and to be able to sort of maintain your brand. So, you know, a great example would be, you know, certain marketplaces, it's very much the Wild West. There are sellers that are coming in that may have products that look like your product, but they aren't. So then there's customer brand issues that happen there. I would advise, you know, brands to avoid marketplaces where if there's not control over how you're presenting your product, or there's issues with, you know, fraudulent other products that are imitating your brand, those are ones you want to stay away from, obviously, and focus on marketplaces where you can partner to make sure there's a clean selling experience.
Yeah, because, I mean, that lack of consistency, I mean, it could almost do more harm than good, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So, you know, we're talking primarily about the purchase and, you know, the buying process, but, you know, one last question here. You know, once a purchase is made, the customer experience is really just beginning, right? You know, somebody buys an HP product, their journey with HP really, really begins. So, you know, what's the role of fulfillment here? And, you know, what are the expectations that a customer has from really any brand when they have a reasonable expectation that they can get, you know, next day or even same day shipping, you know, on demand?
Yeah, and so that's really an operational challenge. And so, you know, what companies need to do is be able to manage inventory and manage their delivery to marketplace fulfillment centers, let's say, and have adequate weeks of inventory on hand so that shipping times are 1 to 2 days. That's really an operational thing to make sure that you're maintaining adequate levels of inventory. One other interesting thing that we've seen recently is Amazon has even partnered with companies like Best Buy, where you can buy online at Amazon and pick up at Best Buy for that expediency to be able to get a large item like an Amazon smart TV, you know, same day, et cetera. But yeah, certainly the expectation has been, you know, 1 day, even same day now. And for a lot of the products that we sell, they are sort of an urgent purchase where, hey, I've run out of ink and my kid's report is due tomorrow. We need to print out this, you know, 15-page document. I need the ink today, sort of thing. So yeah, that's definitely top of mind.
Yeah. Well, Todd, thanks so much for joining. One last question before we wrap up here. You know, we're about midway through ETAIL here, but you know, what's one takeaway you've gained from ETAIL Palm Springs so far?
AI, of course, is the big one. And there's a lot of different things happening there, but how do you leverage AI smartly to make things more efficient? That's certainly been a theme that I've seen so far. And then in general, I think the synergy between retail and online, the synergy between retail and marketplaces, I think is another big one. And then third is probably being able to measure sort of long-term customer value from, you know, advertising efforts and things like that. So how do you measure lifetime value of a customer when you're doing, you know, heavy advertising efforts.
Yeah, great stuff. Well, again, I'd like to thank Todd Walsh, Global Marketplaces COE leader at HP, for joining the show. You can learn more about Todd and HP by following the links in the show notes.
Thanks again for listening to The Agile Brand, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkihlstrom.com. That's GregKihlstrom.com. While you're there, check out my series of best-selling Agile Brand Guides, covering a wide variety of marketing technology topics, or you can search for Greg Kihlstrom on Amazon. The Agile Brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
The Agile Brand.